The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
Hello and welcome to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
I am Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
Yes, you are. How are we doing today, Big JD?
I'm doing great.
It's about time you hit the record button.
It is, isn't it?
That seemed like a long preparation to get going.
Doesn't it? Didn't it?
It seems like Big JD was all ready to hit the record button. He didn't even have a mic around. Not even around him.
Lippo hooked me up. Literally.
Hooked him up with his microphone-y. So this is a busy week for you, eh? Big JD?
This is a busy week. It's Windsor International Film Festival week. 10 days, actually.
And you're the main organizer?
Not the main organizer, no. Sound coordinator, so I'm organizing all the sound people.
How did you get that job?
All the volunteers and whatnot. My expertise, of course.
In sound.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Not being sound, in sound.
Are you getting paid union scale because you're in the guild or the union? Or
I don't know what union scale is exactly, but I can't complain about it, that's for sure.
So you're being well paid.
Well, pretty good.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that because you deserve every penny you make.
All right, thank you for that.
So you're the coordinator, so the people who are actually doing the grunt work are volunteers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody else is volunteers.
So what are the paid positions?
Paid positions within there are projectionists.
Of course.
And sound coordinator. And technical director, usually, and marketing director.
Okay.
And I think that's
about it.
Pretty much where it stops. Yeah. There's the whole board, which boards are unpaid. And then a lot of volunteers. And then theater people, which are, yeah. The theater tech guy is from the theater. So that's a union guy. And then everybody else that helps out there, I don't know what the situation is with everybody. I'm sure some of them are paid to come in.
Yep.
And then they have volunteers as well that come in and help with the actual theater. And then WIF has a lot of volunteers. I don't know how many exactly, but I'm going to say probably
100.
You know, got to be over 100. Yeah. Maybe 150.
Nice.
Yeah.
People who are just love the theater and that whole.
They like the theater. A lot of it also is students, and students need their
experience.
Co-op.
Oh, the co-op, you know, hours, yeah.
Some of that you'll find. And then, some people are just, you know, will have some experience in some of the areas and stuff like that. And then some people just want to help. They like the theater. They like film. They like just want to be there.
Can you tell me what your duties entail? Like sound coordinator, like is there not sound built into all the places that where there's
primarily mixing sound for the theaters too, you know what I mean? But my actual title is sound coordinator. So it entails a little bit of that and like partially mixing sound for the theater and then coordinating the volunteers. So I'm actually, I have enough volunteers that are running, primarily being able to run sound in the theater where I'll oversee all that and I'll help everybody where needed or take over if somebody needs to leave or somebody doesn't show up or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
So sound coordinator is
so I don't have to spend all the time mixing, but sound coordinator is the title, yeah.
Whereas there's a lot of peripheral stuff that you do that you wouldn't even think that.
Yeah, there's a lot of other things. I mean, I was helping with other things today with projection too, so. Okay, we're back.
News! Do you know any news in the music?
Oh, I just want to mention, though, before we get actually into music news,
okay,
is that the Windsor International Film Festival officially starts on November 1st and runs through the 9th, and 9 a.m. till 1 a.m. are films. the last film will end at 1 or 1:30 or whatever. So
say that
come
again.
Come on down and get some tickets. And Sunday and Monday are a couple more local programs. So there's a 48-hour flick fest where local people went out and made films in 2 days. It's only $5. So it'd be a lot of fun to come in and watch these films that they made. I think there was like 16 films and they'll give awards and everything for that.
Yeah.
That's on, that's actually on Monday, I think at 4 or 4:30 or something like that. And then I want to say around the same time on Sunday is 100 Mile Shorts. So 100 Mile Radius, Michigan and, you know, Windsor and surrounding area from local schools, colleges and universities. Those are short films. And I have a film in there actually that I did audio post on.
Okay.
So that's kind of cool.
And who was the director of that film?
The director of that was Maria Cusimano, and Lana actually did cinematography for that film.
Very nice. Lana, of course, being Big JD's wife. Can I get a little less in the cans of me?
Yeah, you can.
It's crazy loud in here.
Better?
Yes, thank you very much.
So, what do we got going on in music news this week, Lippo?
While Black Sabbath are waiting until a new year to begin their studio album, Tony Iommi, the guitar player for Black Sabbath, isn't wasting any time creating new music, and fans will be able to hear it really soon because he's going to be, he's doing, what do you call that, scoring? You score music?
For a film?
CSI.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He's going to be writing some tunes for CSI. That sounds like such an awesome job. You know, you watch some video. And then you think what kind of mood you would like to set to that. And then you got a guitar and you just get all these effects and stuff. And you sit down and you get to play stuff over the music.
And Tony Iommi, that's like, I mean, what's he, how or what is he going to score for CSI? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's awesome. But like, yeah, Black Sabbath guitar.
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't want to guess. I want to guess, but.
And it's for just a particular episode? Is that what?
The guitarist took to his Facebook page to update fans on his latest goings-on and mentioned that he was approached to write music to be featured in an upcoming episode. Mm-hmm. So one episode. I was asked if I'd be interested, so I had a look at the footage, came up with an idea they seemed to like, and it's not very long. And you can just make some music while you're watching some video. So he's digging it, too. Probably burned a big fatty before.
You think so? Does he get high? If we could rewind just a little bit. I want to ask you, you mentioned the fact that he took to his Facebook page or whatever. Mm-hmm. Do you think he actually took to his Facebook page, or does somebody do that for him, do you think?
He could do it, yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'm sure he could, but is there somebody for the Black Sabbath team that probably goes on and does everything, do you think? Or
nope.
No?
That definitely happens, absolutely. But there's a few people that I follow that, or I actually started to follow, and I thought that it was a team. And as soon as you get the team mentality, you know that it's not that person. Big Sugar is a good example of that. Tedeschi Trucks Band, another, you know, I follow those people because I'm interested. I'm a big fan. They don't do their own. You can tell they don't. They don't do their own. You can tell just by the language they use, you know?
Well, Tedeschi Trucks, really? Is that like too big to do his own?
Yeah, they're too busy. Believe it or not, in the circle.
Busy, I guess, yeah.
They're busy, yeah. Really busy. So they can't do it. Whereas I'm following Burton Cummings. Mm. He's a big guy. He's like the Lennon McCartney. One half of the Lennon.
I never had a lady before. He's coming. We just put in for an interview with him for South Detroit Soundhouse.
Burton really?
Cummings, Melissa Etheridge, Steve Miller Band. Yeah, everybody. We put in for everybody, man. Judas Priest and everything, but they won't. A lot of them won't do interviews.
I know they won't do it.
But
Burton Cummings might.
They won't do one with us. That's weird.
That's weird. I don't know.
South Detroit Soundhouse.
And the other
should
piece
be throwing the Big JD name around more.
The other piece of news I had was Sammy Hagar said that if he was offered a Van Hagar reunion, he would take
Van Hagar. Only if they change it to that name.
Oh, that's a good stipulation.
Which is cool. Van Hagar.
Everybody calls it Van Hagar.
Pretty cool.
Because if they, you know, everybody gets asked the question, who do you like better, Van Halen or Van Hagar? What would be your, obviously?
Van Halen.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
David Lee Roth all the way.
Although
I like Sammy Hagar and I love Montrose and everything, but I mean, I grew up with the real Van Halen, right? And the change to me was like really different, but okay. You know, kind of a new age Van Halen thing.
We were talking about Sammy Hagar before the
pre-show, in the green room.
In the green room, yeah. So we know everything there is to know about Sammy Hagar. Married twice, and he's still with his second wife.
Yep.
Yeah.
Four kids.
He's got four kids.
Comes
two
over
from
on
each
the weekends.
Wife. Probably. I don't know.
Who related to that Christian singer, isn't he?
He is. He is.
I like the pointing part. Hey.
We'll be right back.
Not going away yet.
No, I'm
kidding. I have some news, believe it or not. Led Zeppelin back in the top 10 on the album charts.
Album charts.
Can you
believe
that? You're going to like this.
Yes, I can.
Led Zeppelin 4 and Houses of the Holy, the latest album reissues from Led Zeppelin, have entered the UK charts just 3 days following their release on Monday, which should be like almost a week back when you're listening to this, but that's pretty cool.
It's very cool. What do you think about the concept of people buying albums? I think this is a lot less relevant, especially in this year. Here it is. It's going to be November 1st, and there has not been one platinum album sold yet this year.
Can we just like rewind for 1 second? No sound. Movember. You're not doing it this year?
Can we rewind? You mean can we go down this rat hole over here?
Well, we got like 1 day before. Are you not doing, are you going to grow a thing?
Maybe stash? I should do what you suggested.
Where?
I'll do 31 days of Movember. I'll just take a photo
of a mustache.
Of my mustache.
Oh, and then we'll high speed it and put it on the Facebook page.
Yes.
Oh, now he does it.
Yeah, you can give them small doses.
That's
people,
right.
People get sick of that.
You don't
want to
use up all the good stuff.
Exactly.
So, yeah, there's a little bit of Zeppelin news for you. And
well, you didn't answer my question.
Oh, what?
What do you think about the fact that of albums being sold and how relevant this whole, there hasn't, you know, that albums are even being sold like this anymore, being downloaded, considering that this year is the first year there's never been a platinum selling album?
You mean the fact that that's not vinyl or something? Or
any, well, CD.
Download
it, either downloading of it from iTunes.
Yeah.
Or buying the CD or vinyl, all that stuff. Obviously, digital downloads.
And what do I think about it charting or what?
No, what do you think about the whole concept of we're not making albums to be sold and downloaded because it's all going to go to streaming? This whole thing that it makes the top charts. The charts are irrelevant now. The charts should have the top stream songs. And the whole idea of charts is going to go away.
Well, yeah, it depends too. I mean, what do they mean by charts? Is it actual downloads or you're not? I don't think this is from streaming, really.
It's albums bought either through downloading or buying the actual.
So business. Because of the fact that everything's streaming now, you're asking like
what relevance does charts have?
Well, it does because people are still downloading stuff. That's the relevance still for
but
now.
Are they, though? We haven't even got one album that has been platinum. This has been going on for ever since they started making records.
Yeah, but when things get downloaded, they reach a certain number of downloaders that are tabulated, and then they go whatever they go and wherever they are on the charts and whatever, right?
So when do the numbers get so small that it doesn't really represent what people are actually listening to?
When
everything's streaming,
then there's no more downloads and there's no more vinyl and no more CDs or whatever.
Well, there'll be vinyl.
And they're streaming. Then you have to look at how often these songs are streaming. And that's got to be tabulated somehow by someone and somebody's got to make money from it.
So you think there's going to be money made from, there is money made
streaming.
From.
There's money made from streaming. So somebody's got to be keeping track, especially, you know, all these legal places where you can go to Spotify and whatnot stuff.
Yeah.
They must have a record of all that.
Obviously.
When you're streaming. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so there you go. That's
people got to get
the way
paid.
It's going to, that's the way, that's what charting's going to be.
That's what I'm saying. This whole out.
And
this
I think
charts.
They'll still do that, though. They're still going to do the charting. Without that, I mean, that's their, you know, way of keeping track of, you know,
what everybody's listening to.
What everybody's listening to and which bands are, you know, higher than others on the charts.
Exactly. I just think it's interesting.
The charts are like, it's, you know, not maybe the kind of chart it used to be. It's just a, you know, I guess, well, charts were never really like, I don't know. When I think of charts, I think of the paper chart radio type thing. And now it's just like, seems also virtual.
Oh yeah.
You know
it's
what
all
mean?
Virtual,
it's like a virtual chart.
Yes, of course. And that's the way it's been for quite a while now. But the actual charts were always based on sales. That's what I'm saying. And now streaming is not a sale. In a way, it is because the artist gets
It's just
a penny or a portion of a penny per stream.
They're getting paid for it. It's just that we're not necessarily paying for it.
Right. So this week's episode is about music and technology.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So our music is somewhat based on that theme. I know that Neil Young, known for his guitar playing, harmonica playing, kind of folksy sort of thing, he came out with an album in the 80s called Trans, and it was all very computerized. He played all by himself, lots of keys, lots of synth, and this is a song from that album called Computer Age.
See?
Okay, we're back and we're talking about technology as it relates to
music.
Music, musicians.
And where I'm kind of fascinated at what music would be if we didn't have any technology.
Where would we be? What would we be doing?
So, well, I'm just, what kind of music would we have around today if it wasn't for the technology in the making of music? I'm not necessarily talking about distribution.
The Wicked Angel remastered collections would be on four-track cassette recorders.
No, I'm just saying the way the music was made. How did technology affect your musical output?
Well, it made it sound really good.
How?
By being able to record on a medium that handled higher quality of saving your actual sound.
For sure. What about technology in actually making the music?
In like making the music?
Like pedals and technology, or like effects and
yeah, I think that stuff got a lot better too. I mean, we come a long way from the Boss distortion pedal, which is a cool pedal, but I mean,
I'm saying we've come a long way from the acoustic guitars, where that's where I'm starting.
Oh, okay.
And you can go way back before that.
Sure.
So where did we go from, like, the acoustic guitar there and pianos to synths and all that kind of stuff? That's the kind of stuff
Yeah, well, we went into the MIDI age and the digital age and places whereby we could, you know, capture files of these sounds, mm-hmm. or we could replicate.
Sample.
We could sample, we could replicate these sounds and the algorithms that these amps make and use them, you know, from when you're playing guitar and you're using like a plug-in of some certain amplifier or whatever, we've been able to replicate these amps and those algorithms that they use and output that sound without having the amp.
That's awesome, isn't it?
Pretty amazing, yeah.
What about drums? Can you do the same thing with drums? Make it a certain, if you MIDI'd it or...
Well, they basically do the same thing with sampling.
Yeah.
You're going to sample a particular snare from a certain drum kit, and they do whatever they do to get that specific sound and algorithm and every nuance of what that particular sure. drum size, skin use, beater, you know what I mean? Everything.
Yeah.
And they have them. So... In some of the software, like TuneTrack, Easy Drummer, Superior Drummer, or all these different plugins and things mm-hmm. like that, instrument plugins, you can actually change from one drum to another, whether it's Slingerland or Pearl or whatever.
That's
and
really
the size
cool.
and the, yeah.
I'm kind of curious beaters. About the process of reamping. Mm-hmm. A lot of guitars are recorded, and then later on, they're...
Reamped, yeah.
The reamp, so as if you played through something else. So what does the guitarist record the initial track to and as? How does he record it to
Well, the
something?
Initial track is recorded dry, basically. So if you go back and listen to just that track without anything on it, it's just a plunky electric guitar. It's not, there is no amp, there's no distortion, there's no, you know what I mean? So you can actually use that sound again and send it through an amplifier and mic the amp and have that same thing come through again through a Marshall or a different amp or whatever.
So it actually sounds like
yeah, poop. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
And
you almost wouldn't want to listen to it.
But oh, yeah, you could. You wouldn't use it for anything, really.
Right.
It's just
but the guy who's actually playing is actually hearing whatever sound
yeah,
he likes.
Yeah, you can use
hear.
Whatever. You can just use a plug-in and not an amp at all or anything, and then you can use real amps after. It's pretty cool.
You have the next tune-up, or is that me again?
It's you and me. It's Architechnology. It's the song that we recorded for a technology show way back. And it wasn't even this morning show or anything, was it?
It was the morning show. Yeah.
Was it?
But it wasn't this music morning show. The show we had before the music show, which was Big J Deal and Lapone Morning. We talked
yeah, it was
about,
just about anything and everything.
Yeah, we had
Jabbercast.
Jabbercast types.
Post
yes, exactly.
Syndrome.
So we had a show about, this wasn't a songwriting thing, was it?
No, I don't think it was. I think it was just, I don't know what it was.
Something about recording music, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'd have to go back into the archives and really dig. But anyway, this is Architechnology. We wrote this. We recorded this. We sang this. We played guitar. We did everything.
Yeah, it's all us.
And the drums are, I'm going to say, loops or tune track.
Of the modern eyes, wear a top, solid clouds,
And there's Robot Man from the Scorpions.
Ooh, I was going to say, it sounded like the Scorpions. Yeah, yeah.
Robot Man.
And
tunes from In Trance, I think it was on.
That's old Scorpions?
Old Scorpions, yeah.
When did you get turned on to the Scorpions?
Oh, I don't know when or why I got turned on to the Scorpions, but it was a long time ago.
Before they became...
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was right from way back. I honestly, it's probably like just after Lonesome Crow, because I think... and it might have been at that time, Lonesome Crow album, which actually had Michael Schenker on it, because him and Rudolph Schenker, brothers, were Rudy. On the first...
Mm-hmm.
Lonesome Crow thing. And if you dig up some old video, you can find that on YouTube, and it's really cool stuff. They don't even look like the same people, like way back.
Oh, is that
same
right?
Like with Old Priest, right? Rob Halford with like hair down to his waist,
really crazy. skinny guy.
Yeah, yeah,
lanky looking dude.
Yeah, they kind of don't look like the same people, but yeah, from way back then.
Rudy and Michael Schenker. So what happened there? Why did Michael Schenker leave Scorpions?
I think he just wanted to pursue his own thing. He wrote some of the songs that were on the second album, and I want to say maybe through some of the Scorpions' career, and he's played with them later, but he wanted to do his own thing, I think. I think he wanted to do his own direction or something, but that's
a
whole other
pro.
Show. When we look into all the German rock bands.
is that possible?
What do you mean?
To do a show on just German bands?
yeah, well, there's a lot of them. When we come back, more technology.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
So what inspired this show for me, really, was that little bit about in the news about Ozzy, talking about how a lot of people are recording and using new technology to record songs and make music and possibly, you know, perform in some way with each other and not being together as a band. So you can't really play off that other person,
yeah,
you know, so to speak, kind of thing. And
what do you think of that whole concept?
Well, I think it's pretty awesome. I think that, you know, the technology is there for us to use if we need it for certain things.
Yes.
But, you know, we could still get together with people and jam and do whatever. But sometimes you can't, or you live too far, or you have to rehearse in some other way that, you know what I mean?
Right.
Which, by the way, I've really been searching long and hard for to find a way for a band to rehearse long distance, which I would do with my band.
Right.
And even possibly my other guys that are in BC. But even for us to be able to rehearse from, you know, remote locations, like me at my place and the other guys at their homes or whatever, that would be awesome. And I know there's ways of doing it, but I just don't think they're like... You know, and there's some that they say are pretty good, and I haven't really tried them. Like Jamlink, Musician Link. I want to say even Google at some point had one.
Some kind of an app thing
that worked through Chrome or whatever, and I don't think they do it anymore. But yeah, and then I go on the forums, though, and I see things like, you know, they're still kind of fighting with latency and stuff like that when they maybe kind of promote that they aren't. You know, yeah. You can buy a specific box that hooks up to your... LAN, your local area network or whatever, and Ethernet, and you plug your guitar in and you plug your headset in with your microphone or whatever, and I don't know, then you can view them online, the other guys and stuff like that, and play. And I don't know if even that viewing might be through some of this software, or it might be separate, like, you know, turn the sound off, hop on Skype with your guys or whatever,
yeah,
and then use this stuff to actually perform together remotely. And the videos that they show of the people doing it and everything, it's really, really cool. But I just don't know if that's, you know, how good that is.
Yeah.
I don't know if, do I want to drop a couple $100 to find out? And it's, you know.
Well, the whole thing is you're jamming with other people, right? So it's all about the sound. But then you're bogging down the broadband of your connection with video.
They say this is good, and they record it. And yeah, with the video too. And yeah.
So that's really defeating the whole, we're trying to get rid of latency.
Well, yeah. And that could be part of maybe people's complaints that they're video conferencing as well at the same time. I'm not sure, but I don't know that there's really a perfect solution yet.
Not yet.
But I would love it if there was.
I think internet
practicing
has to be
like that
way faster than it is right now.
Yeah. Maybe with a business T3
maybe
service or something.
I doubt it,
is
but maybe
T3 faster than T1. Is that the idea?
I think that's the idea. T3 is a higher tier of internet. Speaking of tears, I was crying a little bit after I got my music together for this show. I realized how much Les Paul I had in my music collection, and it wasn't very much. Let's just put it that way. And but of course, I went on Spotify to see what
they had.
Yeah, of course, they got tons and tons. And there's this version of In the Mood, the old version, not the Rush version of the song called In the Mood. And they do a little intro at the beginning.
It's not the same song, is it?
No.
Oh, okay.
You know the song.
Yeah, I know.
The old song, I'm saying. Yeah, okay. Yeah, like it's a 40s or 50s song. Ugh, and it's an instrumental of the song. And he's just cooking. Like, it's really, really good. Like, Les Paul is obviously a very good guitar player.
And we're going to hear that now?
We're going to hear that. And the reason I'm including Les Paul, because he, for one thing, pioneered the technology for pickups and electric guitars. Mm-hmm. It's big technology back then. You would think that was technological. In fact, Fender called one of their guitars Stratocaster because it was like space age and it was in the stratosphere. So that's what they thought of technology and music and all that kind of stuff. Also, he's the guy who invented four-track recording.
There you go.
He's the guy who had the very first four-track recorder, which made a lot of incredible music, including the other song that I've chosen for this week's music. But this song here is How High the Moon, and this is, of course, with his wife, Mary Ford, Les Paul.
Somewhere there's music, I'll paint the tune. Somewhere there's heaven, how high the moon. There is no moon above, love is far away too. Till it comes true that you love me inside of you. Where there's heaven, it's where you are. The darkest night would shine if you would come to me soon. Until you will still my heart, how high the
of reverb on that guitar. And that guy can play, holy moly. For Les back Paul. Then, he really, not only did he invent multi-track recording and the whole electric guitar thing, he pioneered that way of playing, because once you get that sound, you're inspired to play a certain way. And he's the guy who invented that, and a lot of people took off with that kind of sound. Really, it's obviously a clean guitar, because back in those days, it was a brand new thing, electric guitar, so you try to make it sound as good as you could, and that never meant to add distortion, which there's a lot of stories as to what is the very first version recorded of distorted guitar.
Who invented distortion?
Yeah, who invented distortion?
What's the first?
I've heard a lot of stories. It's all older music. Beatles would say they invented it, or people would say that the Beatles invented it. And
well, the Revolution and stuff like that was pretty heavy.
It was very heavy, yeah.
You know, raunchy guitar.
Helter Skelter, which I say is the very first heavy metal song.
So we're talking about technology and music, and there's so much to talk about. I want to mention, though, some of these few things that, you know, sparked my interest in this whole thing, and that's, you can check some of these out, musicianlink.com, and that they're the ones that sell this thing called Jamlink. So that's worth checking out, I guess. And e-jamming. So that's something I think you sign up right on from their web interface on their page there. And I don't know how good that works. Jamulus is another one piece of software that you use. Jamulus enables musicians to perform real-time jam sessions over the internet. There is one server running the Jamulus server software, which collects the audio data from each Jamulus client, mixes the audio data, and sends the mix back to each client.
In microseconds.
I guess. What's the latency like when it's got to be sent somewhere?
And then processed, and then sent back.
Yeah, and that's not even just, that's not a dedicated
line.
Like, straight to somebody. So I don't know.
Real time, no, it says, JD. Real time.
Real time,
How can that be real time? It's like it has to predict what you're going to play before you play it and then process it.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Let's process some DOA.
How do you process that?
Well, you process it in the new age. DOA on the morning show. Okay. So we're talking about technology, music. Where do your thoughts wander, meander to?
Well, like I say, what I thought we would take this show, which we didn't, but that's okay.
Well, we're going to right now.
Apparently. Well, okay. Well, what I was thinking of is how technology progressed through, it was probably the 20th century is when the most technology affected the way that music was made. I'm thinking of, when did someone make an electrical device where you can actually push keys and a different sound would come out?
Well, that came in the early days, I guess, of the, I don't know what the earliest synthesizers were.
Or even
what
just
about the B. Hammond organ type stuff.
And I'm thinking Hammond.
The Leslie,
exactly.
Those kinds of things.
Leslie Speaker, another extremely thing.
Now they have plugins for that.
For the Leslie sound.
Everything but the Marshall. That's what I'm waiting on.
So what is Marshall just holding out for?
I don't know why right Marshall deals? Doesn't have software plugins. I think they're just the king, and the king doesn't have to do that yet. Although there are IK Multimedia has a Marshall plugin. It's this slash a couple amps that Slash uses, and they actually have the Marshall logo on it. So it's like officially licensed Slash 100th anniversary, the silver Marshall, and I think another one. And they actually use the logo, so that's kind of an official thing.
Didn't they do really the same thing with Jimi Hendrix as well?
Jimi Hendrix, yeah. But I'll even want to say that they had the Marshall logo on the Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, when I want to say out, they did.
But they don't have that now. Oh. So I don't know what the deal is with that. I don't know if that was they weren't supposed to have that at the time or they lost that or I don't know what. But they still have the Hendrix thing. Remember, I won that actually from IK Multimedia a while back when I made a video of the Hendrix stuff.
Really?
I should post that sometime, yeah. And it was through Facebook or whatever. So that's pretty cool stuff too, the Hendrix one, and that's you know, primarily Marshall based, but they don't. I think they do have, it says Marshall on the Marshall amps maybe, but on their advertisement they don't have it on there because of the fact that it's more than just one kind of amp, because you use like Fender too, right? So they have, yes, like some different amps and things like that. So I want to say they might have the Marshall on the Marshall amps, because that's an official licensed thing too, but
yes,
I don't know how officially licensed from Marshall these things are as they are to the person, the Hendrix Heritage family, right, whatever, you know, but they must have something to do with Marshall too, or they wouldn't be able to get away with that.
No.
But they license Orange and Angle and all kinds of major company amps, Fender, whole line, plugins, yeah.
That's smart, you would think, right? Because that's the way
things, I think, it's going. Great. And Marshall, not that long ago, had digital amps, and they even had a MIDI amp at one time, rack mount JMP1 or, yeah, I think that's what it was. And it was a, you know, you could use a foot pedal, MIDI foot switch with it, foot controller.
It's a foot pedal switch.
So anyway, controller. We're getting close to the end of the show.
Yes, here,
so,
apparently we are.
So what are we going to do next week on the morning show?
We're going to start a new thing. First, we
trend.
A new trend in the shows. First, we said we're going to do genres, which we're going to talk about different genres on a regular basis. We said we'd do 10 a year or something like that. If there is 10 different genres, I think we're not stretched for genres, that's for sure. Then we picked cities. That was another theme that we're going to, regular theme we're going to bring to the show. Also, we're going to start another one starting next week, and it's going to be specific artists. Artists or people in music who are just, you know, just a mover, shaker, legend, whatever. Somebody big that everybody knows about. And we'll talk about different aspects of their career, what they meant to us, were we inspired by them, and, you know, just how important were they in music and why they were important. The also, movers. I'd like, yeah, to start a segment in the show dedicated to technology somehow, whether it's a new plugin or a new pick or a new set of strings with some coding on it or something. I'd like to have a little section, or either a minute or two or five or whatever it turns into.
So we'll need an ID for that.
We would need an ID.
Okay.
And you're going to be busy, so I'll,
yeah, if, you if make I that. Can, I was going to tell you, you make that.
If I can, I will make an ID for the Lippo. Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
What do you mean, if you can?
I will. I'll do it. Yeah. I might do it Sunday. We'll see.
There you go.
While I'm listening to this show.
For the next show, which hopefully we have a new show next week.
Big JD's super duper busy.
We'll figure it out. I mean, it might, like, I'll try and let you know as far in advance as I can of when I'm available, and might be kind of
tight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to be a little less flexible, but I'm on afternoons next week. So, and then 2 weeks from this Saturday, I'm leaving to go to San Francisco.
San Fran?
Yep.
What's going on there? Anything in particular, or just going to hang out?
Going to hang out.
Okay.
Yep. Going to the girl's house that I would stay at when I went to Macworlds there. Mm-hmm. She lives in wine country.
I was going to say, yeah, wine something. Napa?
Napa. I'm a big wine fan, and then some of the best wine in the world comes from Napa Valley, in my
opinion.
It's all
broke now. All the bottles are busted from when I was there.
From the hurricane, or the hurricane, the earthquake. The
earthquake, yeah.
Thanks for
taking... I still get scared. Okay.
Thanks for taking one for the team there, Big JD.
Thought there was a tremor happening.
A tremor.
So, yeah. And when are you going again, did you say?
2 weeks from this Saturday.
Okay.
Which was yesterday.
So what happens there? Are we going to, how long are you going for?
A week. And I'm bringing...
something to record on?
Yeah.
Okay. So we might do a remote show from there.
Where?
A music store.
The ocean.
Well, that's okay. But I mean, what if you go somewhere music related?
Like,
what about that park where they, I think the guy on the double-decker bus that I toured on said that Janis Joplin was discovered in some park there in the middle of, not one of those big crazy parks. It was a smaller park near
Haight-Ashbury
area. Yeah. There was a park.
Buena Vista Park?
Or what about where Hendrix lived there, right? Hendrix lived upstairs over one of the...
He had a place.
Why don't you go knock on the door and say, I want to come in for coffee and do my show there. They'll love it.
I want to come
in. And we'll have do that coffee. Show on Hendrix. That'd be sweet.
I could talk to the Rock and Roll Geek.
Oh, yeah?
Michael Butler. I just talked to him yesterday.
Is he in San Francisco?
He lives in San Francisco, yeah.
So is he music related in any way, though?
He was the bass player for Exodus. He is the rock and roll geek. He's one of the early podcasters.
He was a bass player for Exodus?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and he's also one of the earliest podcasters. He was, he started in 2005 and as well. And, yeah. He's talked to everybody. And he has a very similar musical sensibility as I do.
Kind of get an interview from him so we can have it. On
the I'll ask him if you're into me having an interview, I'll do interview with him.
Absolutely.
But I would like you to write the questions.
Okay. Yeah. I'll write the questions. I have one already. I want to know if he knows Dave Richer from
Exciter. Speaking of Exciter,
quickly I forget.
I'm excited about next week's show because we're going to have our first musical next legend week. Show is going to be a musical legend, Frank Sinatra.
Awesome. Yeah. I wish I'd have saw him in 95 when he played the Fox or whatever it was, and that was the end of him.
Yeah, it was it.
Damn.
So next week, all Frank, all the time. I'm Lippo. Thanks for listening, everybody. See you later.
Bye.
I read the news today, oh boy, about a lucky man who made the grade. And though the news was rather sad, I just had to laugh. I saw the photograph. He blew his mind out in a car. He didn't notice that the lights had changed. A crowd of people stood and stared. Face before, nobody was really sure if he was on the house floor. I saw a film today, oh boy, the English army had just won the war. A crowd of people turned away, but I just had to look. Having read the book, I'd love to turn you.
Join us here next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.